But rather, he thinks that it can be a very fine indicator of precisely where virtue will reside. You will remember, I think, from our discussion of virtue in its general form in Book 2, that virtue, as Aristotle defined the moral virtues, was a habit of choosing the mean between the extremes with respect to some action or with respect to some emotion. And that general definition of virtue on which he was so reliant, calling it a habit, already had a place for virtue. Because, as we noted, how do you tell when you have a habit? You tell that you have a habit when something is done easily and regularly and with a certain pleasure. The very notion of having a habit of driving is not only the ability to do it, but the ability to do it easily and regularly and to enjoy doing it, to have a certain control and mastery there. Or if we have a good habit with respect to food and drink, it's that we're able to use food and drink, but to use them in appropriate ways, truly to enjoy them without, on the other hand, so much using them or so much being dominated by the pleasure that we become vastly overweight or that we lose control of our rationality by excessive drink. That is, the pleasure gives us an indication of something that is there and designed for our nutrition and gives us some of the joy of life, but on the other hand, doesn't make us slaves to the table or slaves to the pitcher. There is rather a strong sense that the pleasure can give us an ability and an inclination to do the particular activity, and that when the pleasure becomes particularly associated not just with receiving the food or the drink or the other particular bodily stimulation, but when the pleasure is associated with choosing rightly about this matter, that one can even see it as one of the indicators that virtue is present. So, for example, when one thinks of situations of temperance, when a young person is learning to drink, if one has never had any experience at home and one comes to college and has never had really any guidance in the matter from one's parents, very frequently there is a going to excess. That is, the fear, the mere manifestation of the pleasure and the tremendous excitement and the fascination of it leads regularly to having students go to vast excess in the matter. Whereas, I find from my experience with students at the university, those who've been taught to drink at home are able to enter into this in appropriate ways because they know the ways in which it adds to human sociability and that it adds to a finer experience of human company without, on the other hand, going out merely for the sake of getting drunk. And so, too, with much other bodily pleasure, namely that finding the pleasure not just in the thing, but finding the pleasure in using the thing rightly to enhance the entire experience is very much a manifestation and a mark of the fact that some virtue is present precisely because there is a certain habit. Now, in addition to this, one also sees in Aristotle's treatment of it that there's an importance to being trained in finding pleasure about the right things. Namely, that our pattern of the development of virtues, in Aristotle's understanding, our pattern of development requires habituation, requires that we do a thing again and again. But it's not just a matter of doing it again and again by rote so that there's no choice. Rather, for Aristotle's entire perspective in ethics, moral virtue is a matter of a habit of choosing the mean. But in choosing the mean, this does amount to real deliberation, real consideration of alternatives, real consideration of the likely consequences, real consideration of the necessary means that must be taken to get to the end. And all of the elements that are involved in that deliberation hopefully will become habitual so that we'll look at them and look at them quickly and directly and attend to them rightly and give them the right sort of value in our weighing and in our deliberation. The role that pleasure has in this, for Aristotle, is that we must become, over the course of our life, and especially our early life, habituated to take pleasure in the right things. Here again, let me take an example from college life, but let me try something different than food and drink. Let's try something like music or sometimes noise, because some of what at least seems to pass for music by certain people's standards seems to me to be pure noise. But how is it that we come to gain an appreciation of what music is? Well, part of it is exposure to different kinds of music. And so for the college students that I deal with, sometimes it's a matter of exposure to classical music. But equally, for those who are already have a taste for that, it could very well be exposure to jazz. And if they've never yet had the pleasure of learning what the real pleasures of the tremendous spontaneity of a good jazz player, that can be an acquired taste.